That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, so we're going to talk to Cliff here in just a second. But first, if you're interested in listening to all the things that we offer on our Patreon page, here's how you can do that. For just $15 per month at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, you can get the Ultimate Edition of the podcast, and it's entirely commercial-free. The Ultimate Edition includes the Shadow Docket at the end, exactly as we record the show. Plus, you get the exclusive Friday after party with me and Kimberly. You get to participate in the chat room. You get to comment under all the episodes. You get email alerts and notifications when we get a new episode out. All of that for just $15 per month. That's BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, January 3, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Interview on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 1078 of the Biden-Harris administration, 306 days into the 24 presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram. The Bob Seska is my handle. Twitter, BobSeska_go. And our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. So we're jumping right into 2024 headfirst with the great Cliff Schechter. You probably know Cliff from his YouTube channel. Got a link in the description for that. Or you know Cliff from the Stephanie Miller Show, or you know him from his many appearances on this show. Well, today Cliff and I talked about Trump's horrendous body odor and the possible source of it. Plus, we dig into the Republican primaries and whether Republicans will back away from nominating a criminally convicted presidential candidate who might not appear on all the ballots. We also talked about the possibility that Marjorie Taylor Greene is engaging in financial crimes and a whole lot more. Find Cliff on social media at Cliff Schechter. And of course, his YouTube channel is youtube.com/C Schechter. Okay, meantime, don't forget to support this podcast by subscribing to us on Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. Okay, this is me and the great Cliff Schechter.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Seriously, how insane is 2024 going to be, Cliff?
Completely fucking nuts. I mean, you know, what can I can't, I wish I'd come up with a funnier way to put it.
Yeah.
Rabid hyena humping a glory hole, kind of insane. Does that work?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I came up with something creative. I used that one before, though. But your guys probably haven't heard it. So there you go.
I mean, we're talking about a lot of things that we've never experienced before as a republic. During the history of the United States, there are going to be numerous things this year that we know will happen that have never, ever happened in the history of this nation. That is mind-blowing to think about.
Yeah. Right? Or, I mean, certainly haven't happened during a time of modern media, which distorts and, you know, of course, exacerbates whatever the most sensationalistic part of anything is. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's funny, like when it's, you know, Trump crapping his pants. I mean, I enjoy that they helped in that endeavor.
Yeah, yeah.
They helped me get a video that's at about 75,000 views right now on my YouTube channel, and it's literally about Trump crapping his pants.
Why? You know what? Why don't we start there? Why don't we start there as the first event of 2024 that's seriously fucked up? So, who was it? Noel Kassler? Who reported that Donald Trump smells awful? It happened sometime in the past 2 weeks, so I know nothing about this story.
Okay, so I'm gonna and again, I did some traveling over the holidays, you know, this, that, the other thing. So you're a music guy, so I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Saw U2 at the Sphere. Dude, if you're at all a fan of U2.
Yeah.
Talking about how I've put this money into this setup here, and yet somehow my sound still isn't what I want it to be. The sound in that frickin' Sphere is amazing. They have 8 speakers on every seat. Now we're talking like 15,000 seats. They spent $2 billion on that thing. So they'll making up the money. The lights, like the LED lights are out of this world. There's probably like a billion of them. And I don't even know if I'm exaggerating. So you've got everything around you, you know, this like this igloo, right?
Yeah.
And you keep, but everything is a square. It's like a huge TV set. And there's like 50 of them around you. So they're showing in perfect video scenes from U2's past or scenes from like, you know, various things that have happened in our history or whatever, while, you know, what that their songs are about. It was, and U2, it doesn't hurt that they unlike many of the, let's call it the Gen X variety bands, the early Gen X, because they're in their, I'm Gen X and I'm, you know, early 50s, they're Gen X, they're early 60s, I think. But let's compare them to another one of my, a band I love, for example, Guns N' Roses. They avoided the drugs that Guns N' Roses did not avoid, and therefore U2 is still at the top of their game. Like, they're not slowing down. So when you take their performance in this amazing venue, oh my God. Yeah. So in any case, I was traveling, I was in Vegas, I was in New York. New York was about family, Vegas was about fun and all that sort of thing. But I did catch what was going on. So this interview was like 2 years ago that the Midas guys did, if you know those guys.
Oh, yeah,
of course
yeah.
you know them, but if you know them personally, they're good dudes. Did with Noel. And he went into details about how somebody were like how, you know, Trump even by the 90s had lost control of his bowels from, this is Noel Kastler's claim again.
Right,
I don't
know
this for a fact, but he claimed it was due to abuse of Adderall, cocaine, and some other uppers that Trump needs to function.
Shocking,
Yeah, so that there were people, there's somebody there that literally, I mean, I hate to gross people out, but there was like an ass wiper there. I mean, like, imagine that's your job. I'm like, hi, I work on the...
Yeah, I was thinking that like went to Walt Nauta or something like that. Like that was like his body man would handle the ass wipe. But he's got a separate guy who's doing the ass wiping. Is that what we're trying to understand here?
You were a body man in the Trump organization. They meant it. Right? Like you were just protecting the body. You were wiping the body. You were applying deodorant to every roll in his body, every Jabba roll. You were like, you know, finding old, like, you know, old car batteries, you know, stuck in between, like, you know, the fat rolls here and like, you know, old, like, not lettuce because he doesn't eat that. Probably like a taco from his big taco day he has at at Trump Tower is stored away somewhere else. Like, basically, it's like you're getting him out. If you remember that scene where Austin Powers wakes up after being asleep for like 30 years, and the second one I have to like get a huge brush and scrub his whole body. That's what your job is.
Then he pees for an hour, right?
Right. Right, because apparently Trump is some combination of poop, you know, body odor and like, you know, like dental. Yeah, I mean, he's got
it's like bad breath or something. Is that the other part of the story?
Like halitosis because of some dental implants. Like the dude is more machine than man now. He's a really bad machine.
Twisted and evil. Yeah.
Twisted and evil, exactly. Mm. It's basically like if you made Darth Vader, but with all like low tech parts you got from China, like, you know, a discount.
Yeah.
So nothing really works, and it's half of it's fake, and you know, but I mean, the story. So that was what Noel Kastler did.
And Noel Kastler also reported that Donald Trump, when he's doing his rallies and gets particularly upset, would shit himself because he was so angry. So when he's really going off, when he's really pissed off at someone, like that time he was going after Brian Karam, or who else did he go after? Jim Acosta. Yeah, like he went after Jim Acosta during that one press conference inside the White House. And, you know, it was like one of those occasions when he just allegedly crap himself. Now, I will say this before we continue talking about this subject. I want to say that I always take Noel Castler with a grain of salt. And I'm taking this other story about Donald Trump's odor with a grain of salt as well. Has anyone legitimate, like Jonathan Swan or something like that, verified that Trump stinks?
Right? I don't mean to cut you off, but like it's my fault because I'm making too many jokes. And
that's fine with me. Yeah.
But I haven't gotten because Castler was the original one who said it. But the reason this was from 2 years ago, and the reason this interview came back up is because about a week ago, week and a half ago, somebody very not Noel Castler-like, not a comedian, not whatever, which is Adam Kinzinger, you know, a pretty serious and conservative guy, you know, tweeted out. I mean, he seems to be all in on this, too, because he's just been running with it. Mm. But he tweeted it out, and I want to say this is like 10 days ago, you know, something like that. Like, you know, it was a simple tweet where he was just like, I'm surprised that people who were formerly close to Trump and who now, you know, have you know, broken from him or whatever, somewhere like that, have not talked about the unbelievable stench. He's like, the odor is overpowering and disgusting, and it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, again, it doesn't say, I'm not going to tell you that, like, I know that, you know, that Adam Kinzinger is like, you know, the George Washington, I never tell a lie when I cut down the cherry tree. I don't, you know, but the fact that Kinzinger brought it up, and then Dave Bautista, who we all know from not just WWE, but from, I mean,
Guardians of the Galaxy, and
I mean, from some, to me, that's my favorite role with him. But okay, other things he's been in. He claimed that when they did that event, that, and you can see the outline of the Depends in Trump's pants if you look, like when he falls over, when he did that WWE event in like 98 or I don't know when the hell it was.
Yeah.
And Bautista claimed that Trump was wearing Depends and crapped himself during that too. So I'm saying it could still be complete, no pun intended, bullshit. There are three sources now, at least. And others, off the record, who've been on the Apprentice, made the same claim. They wouldn't attach their names to it, or whatever. But when you get Kinzinger and Bautista and Noel Castler, I mean, it doesn't mean that what Noel said, like, you know, you can question whether it's 100% true. And I'll just simply say, I've never, you know, it's funny, in this world we inhabit, Bob and I have joked that, because we've never lived in the same place at the same time and traveled the same place. Like, I've actually never met Bob in person.
No, that's crazy.
Bob is like one of my two or three probably best friends who I've never met in person.
That's right.
And that actually exists in our society. I mean, much more so in the last, you know, however many years with TikTok and FaceTime and things that weren't even a thing in the early 2000s when you and I, you know, were starting to get to know each other.
Yeah.
You know, but so most people I've come across, like my kids sometimes be like, do you know that guy? And I'll be like, I don't, but we, you know, we had an interaction on Twitter over this. So like, do you know John Cryer? Cause you know, he played like Lex Luthor in the TV series, The Flash, whatever. I'm like, I do not. I did actually once when he insulted somebody, I made a joke that I took straight out of Pretty in Pink. And, you know, John Cryer responded to me with a, how impressed he was and said, I wish I'd made that joke, you know, because it was a line that he said in Pretty in Pink, like, Blaine, what kind of name is that? That sounds like an appliance.
Yeah.
And I said that about Tucker Carlson's brother, whose name is like, you know, what is it, like Palmer or some stupid waspy name?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I often say this to my kids. I'm like, I don't know this person. We've had an interaction on Twitter or whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Noel Castler, I've literally never interacted with him.
Yeah, me
neither.
I've
never been on a show at the same time as him. So I have no basis to whether to not trust or trust him. He's one of the few people in this world we inhabit of not real world fame, but semi-internet fame that I don't know.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, to his credit, the fact that he's on Stephanie Miller's show gives him some cred, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
I still have a hard time, like, fully embracing some of his claims about Donald Trump, although I have no reason to doubt what he's saying. It's just they're so outrageous that you got to wonder, like, how legitimate is this stuff? And it may be super duper legitimate, because it makes perfect sense that Donald Trump smells like ass. I mean, that is, you can see it on him. The fact that he's got that hair,
you look
his
at
hairstyle,
him and you see ass, I mean, smell.
It's like what? Like 9 feet of hair swirled around on his head to cover up his bald spot, right?
Right. That's what Penn Jillette famously called piss cotton candy.
Yeah, exactly. And so that requires maintenance. And I wonder if he skips taking a shower every day because it takes a long time to set that hair up. Like, I wonder if he's got a whole collection of hair nets sitting next to his bed that he wears to bed and just doesn't shower, doesn't clean that hair as often as he should. So the BO accumulates.
Well, and then he probably stinks too, probably.
Yeah. And then he probably tries to cover it up with some sort of El Cheapo cologne, like Dracar Noir or something like that. And the combination of body odor and like sort of magazine insert cologne probably ends up smelling like shit.
With Tony Michaels about this, you know, on his show, and my theory is that they take a suit and they just completely douse it in Axe body spray, and then they lower, you know, with, you know, what are the things, the pulleys, like you lower a horse with, they lower Donald Trump into it, and then they roll him over and back and over and back in the Axe body spray, and then he puts it. Because the other thing is, his suits are cheap and crappy and like look like, you know, he found them he went thrifting and got them. Like his tie hangs down below his dick. I wish somebody would teach him how to tie a fucking tie. Sorry, pet peeve from 10 years of Episcopalian school, but.
Yeah, he'll never do that because, you know, his ill-fitting suits and the hair and the makeup and all that stuff, that's all woven into his brand. And he's never going to give up his brand.
Quite literally because woven in.
Yeah, it's literally the weaving of his suits are woven into his brand. That's all he's got. That's the only bankable thing that the Trump organization has going for it is Donald Trump's personal brand. That's what he's selling. They end up slapping his name on all these buildings. Why? Because the owners of the building want to be associated with Donald Trump's brand for some fucked up reason. And so that's how he's able to do all of these licensing deals with various Trump towers around the world. So I understand why he's doing it.
A lot more buildings since he became the fascist demagogue that has been added to buildings.
But can you imagine being so trapped into that image? Like the image that you're most famous for is fucked up hair and that orange makeup on his face to cover up rosacea or whatever the hell he's doing. And then the weird baggy suits that have all the like creases from sitting too much. He's a gut and the lifts in his shoes and all the rest of it. He's a goddamn mess. And imagine being trapped. Like, this is what I'm famous for. I have to keep doing this. It's like with Guy Fieri. That guy is going to be 90 years old and he's still going to be wearing his hair and his sunglasses and the tattoos and the wristbands and all that shit. He's trapped in that brand. And so imagine being Donald Trump and being trapped in that visage.
I agree with you. But I sometimes wonder, he's so gauche, right? Like, he's so gross and gaudy and just classless. And he always dreamt of being, like, this star in Manhattan, you know, when he lived in Queens, as if, you know, having a lot of money in Queens wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And he could never live up to that. And he tried to do what he could. I mean, you've seen the Saddam Hussein palace he lives in. You know, I did live in, you know, until we basically booted him from New York. I do wonder if some of it is like, this is what his dad drilled into him. You have to wear a suit and tie every day to look like you're important. Because his dad, you know, we both know Mary Trump. I mean, she said that he was the ultimate sociopath, Trump.
Yeah.
You know, like made Donald almost look tame in comparison.
Right.
Which is why there's so many of these in the family.
Yeah, it's like, where would we be with democracy right now if Fred Trump was actually a loving, empathetic father? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, if Hitler wasn't such a shitty painter, the world could have turned out a lot better for a lot of people, right? So I mean, you know, it's true. And I mean, I do wonder how much of it is brand and how much of it is he thinks he looks good.
Yeah.
That he doesn't, you know, he exists in his own world as we know it. I mean, he thinks when he rants in those crazy Truth Social posts that that is normal and that people read that and are impressed by that, like regular people, normal people, as opposed to just his lunatic base and the people that have to like him for their jobs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even the people that are going to begrudgingly vote for him, and I'm not making excuses for them, voting for him at all is a fucking act of terror as far as I'm concerned. But the ones who are going to go and do that, even they would be like, that shit's crazy, right? When they look at like the stuff he writes. He thinks all of this stuff looks good, sounds good. So I do wonder how much is branded, how much is he thinks his hair looks good. He thinks that makeup where he looks like a fucking bozo looks good. He thinks the suits are fitting him properly. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, that's kind of what I kind of feel like that might be the story. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But
smelling like ass, part of Donald Trump's brand now, I guess. He feels the need that, hey, you know, if I don't stink, then the Trump organization is going to lose money on my name. Something like that.
The only thing we don't know for sure, Bob, is, and I'm not going to find out or do my best not to ever find out, is when, you know, someone like Kinzinger referred to the odor. He is too much, you know, he's still much too conservative and a congressman to go into what that odor was.
Right.
I mean, it could be, you know, so you're right. It could be exaggerating and maybe it's body odor that's so disgusting or his breath or some combination of all those things. I mean, he doesn't look like he takes cleanliness seriously, as you said. That hair is just a fucking mess. I mean, how many things do you think, like alternative life forms, silicon life, you know, you ever seen an episode of The X-Files, may have formed in his hair and be growing. It's like a petri dish in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he clearly, if you've seen some of those images, wears Depends and probably poops himself here and there. Does he do it all the time?
Yeah.
Don't know that he does. I have no idea. But what I would say is, like, the odor could be a whole variety of things, and it could be all of it put together, which just, to me, makes me think to myself, my God, like these women that, you know, not the ones he sexually assaulted, but the ones who actually chose, and I smile sarcastically, too, because it's all fucking awful and he's disgusting. So please don't take that the wrong way, folks, when you see this. But but I'm talking about like women who voluntarily chose to mate with this person.
Yeah. It's incomprehensible why anyone would look at Donald Trump and say, yeah, you know what? I got to see that naked. I don't understand that mindset.
I gotta hit that. I mean, why don't you just mate with a gorilla throwing feces at you? I mean
literally,
it's the same effect out of it.
Right? And I think the sex would also involve some form of peeing, if the Russia rumor is correct. So we're getting into really disgusting territory with Donald Trump.
I have to say one last thing that was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
You know, when we were in Vegas, and at this point, the Trump Tower, by the way, out there, looks so old, outdated, old. It's perfectly on brand for Trump. Like, these beautiful new things like the Venetian, the Bellagio, and these places like that. You know, these palaces, the Caesar or whatever. And then you've got this old crappy, it looks circa 1975.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a straight sort of perpendicular gross building and it is colored yellow. His building looked like a golden shower.
Well, you know what? That's the other thing about the Trump brand is everything is like this nouveau riche, tacky, sort of tasteless, gaudy. Yeah. A poor person's idea of what a rich person looks like. You know what? When I make $1 million, I'm going to have a gold-plated penthouse. That sounds like something like a five-year-old would come up with. Like, this is draw a picture of what a rich person looks like.
Yeah, I honestly think stylistically he got stuck in about 1976 and just never progressed.
Right.
It's like the movie Almost Famous, like the styles of that time or whatever that, you know, and that may have been earlier. But in any case,
Watched that movie over the break. Oh, God.
I love that movie.
I'm going to say again, what an amazing, amazing movie. And you know what?
Yeah.
Underappreciated is Patrick Fugit's performance, the lead in that movie, the sort of the Cameron Crowe character in the film.
He's been in other stuff since. He looks different now, and it's, you know, because he's grown up.
Like, yeah, he was in Gone Girl, the David Fincher, Ben Affleck movie, Gone Girl. Yeah, he was great in that, too.
God, so many great performers. I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman almost steals the show, and he's only shows up like three or four times, and I miss that guy. What a great actor.
So I interrupted, but anyway, you were saying.
Dude, you interrupted first of all, I interrupt all the fucking time. So, come on, let's be serious. Second of all, you interrupted for a very good reason, which was, to say that you saw Almost Famous, and that's one of those movies that I can watch again and again. So, all right, let's talk about Lauren Boebert running to a new district.
I do want to get to Lauren Boebert here in a second, but while we're still talking about Donald Trump, I got to ask you, do you think that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee? I think there's been some people kind of scratching their heads, and maybe he's not going to be the guy. Maybe something is going to happen with his support, or maybe Nikki Haley is going to gain some support, although with the Civil War thing.
Well, she
how
has.
Is this all playing out?
So the problem is, and I did this calculation back in 2016, and my calculation was roughly that 70% of the Republican Party was insane. And so I classified the two different groups of people, like, could a moderate sneak through, and moderate in their current parlance is somebody who you know, doesn't dribble on the, or pee on themselves, and, you know, yeah. like somebody who you don't have to worry about using the nuclear codes because they had a bad day. And you know, and I, to me, Trump, Ted Cruz, Huckabee, you know, we're all lunatics.
Yeah.
We're all Rand Paul, not serious people, versus the ones that, whether you like them or not, and I didn't like them, but, you know, someone like a Kasich, mm-hmm. you know, who at least was a relatively serious person in at least running his, that way, and that, you know, I think if anything, it's gotten worse. So I don't, the problem is that right now, you know, and you can decide if you think this is a good or a bad thing, because Chris Christie, even though he's the guy, I remind people, he's the guy that stranded people on a bridge because he didn't get an endorsement. He's the every bit the bully Trump is. Mm-hmm. But what he's doing right now is a service for democracy. And even if he's doing it for the wrong reasons, often people do things for the wrong reasons and they benefit us.
Yeah.
And everything he's saying about Donald Trump needs to be said from that stage. And he's the mm-hmm. only one saying it.
Yeah.
So that's important. But he clearly, you know, is in the lane. He's got about 10% support where Nikki Haley needs his votes.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get out of the way, you know, I just don't think there's enough, you know, DeSantis goes into the crazy lane mm-hmm. with Donald Trump. So whatever DeSantis gets, I think would end up with Trump if it weren't for DeSantis. I don't think it goes to Nikki Haley. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm forgetting who the hell, Vivek Ramaswamy
yeah.
Is definitely in the crazy lane.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have anybody else in, you know, if DeSantis were taking at least like 30% of the vote, then there's a chance for, you know, if he's taking it right out of Trump's hide, a very unclean hide, I might
add. Yeah.
then maybe you're looking at something where Nikki Haley can sneak through.
Yeah.
Now she's closer in New Hampshire, and some people have argued, and this happens, that the momentum from, you know, a win in a state like New Hampshire, where independents can vote too, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
I mean, Nikki Haley could actually come close or win New Hampshire, then go to, and then in the end in Iowa, be completely shut down because it's all the stupid caucus and organization and the 20 craziest people on the block who turn out. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be shocked if Trump doesn't. I mean, I know Kim Reynolds endorsed DeSantis, but he doesn't have a chance, the governor of Iowa.
Yeah.
And so I'd be shocked if Trump doesn't win Iowa. Then you go to South Carolina. So Nikki Haley, having been the governor, has a great chance. But, you know, remember what Trump did to Marco Rubio in Florida and mm-hmm. Kasich in Ohio. And I don't, you know, can she hold on? She may not be able to hold on even there. So, because South Carolina is only Republican voters, so it's only the base, it's only the craziest mofos. And so I just, if I'm a betting man, I'm saying still, unless something huge happens before then,
yeah.
by huge, I mean he is actually found guilty of a crime.
Yeah.
Could be the thing. Maybe he craps his pants and they fall down and when he sees it. I don't know.
I love that example. That'd be great if that actually happened. But here's a question for you, though.
I don't want to talk happens- about that stuff anymore, but none of people understand that politics is psychological warfare.
Yeah.
And that we wish it was post-Enlightenment like the founders meant, and we just made logical decisions based on positions. And some of us do actually look at things like that.
Yep.
But so much of it's based on emotion, and so much of Republican these days is based on, you know, the old sort of fascies, right?
Mm-hmm.
The stick and the, you know, which is what fascism comes from.
Yeah.
That anything that makes Trump look weak would hurt him more. Like, I think more than a prison sentence, what would hurt him more is this poop story. And I'm being serious. Like, I'm not trying to get back into that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because if it makes his voters be like, ew, he's weak and old and whatever, that will hurt him more among Republican voters
than
other stuff.
So what happens if the Supreme Court rules against Donald Trump when it comes to the 14th Amendment? What happens if there's a very real possibility endorsed by the Supreme Court that Donald Trump could be removed from upward of 25 different state ballots. I mean, what happens? Will the Republicans still nominate a guy who's not even going to be on, you know, maybe upward of half the ballots in the United States?
I mean, I hate to say it for a good reason, yeah. Right? Like they could.
Yeah.
And you'd say to yourself, well, you know, that's great. And I would say that's great too, because then we know he'd lose, mm-hmm. except for I could see them then not even accepting the authority of the Supreme Court and serious violence breaking out. And again, I'm not saying we can't, if we start making our decisions, and this is why I've always harbored an anger for Mueller, for Merrick Garland, mm-hmm. for other people that allow, and certainly our media, anybody who allows like the equivalent of fascists or whatever, authoritarians, right-wing nuts, you know, and if it happens to be that this is who it is in your country, left-wing nuts, but anybody who allows people to use violence to threaten them so that they cover something differently or they make a decision differently, mm-hmm. you're no longer in a democracy.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of a democracy was ballots, not bullets.
Yeah.
And so if you can't even count on that, we're going to be okay if they do that. So, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I'm a little concerned that violence breaks out, but you know, again, if you hide behind that and say, well, we're gonna not do stuff that where violence breaks out, then they can threaten violence all the time and we're not a democracy. So you make that decision. I don't see the Supreme Court making that decision. But if they mm-hmm. do, yes, I think his people, I mean, you've seen his already there have been a few Trump people who have been like, stay home. And who said that? And let's not vote if they do this.
Trump you know? Said that. Trump has actually been saying that at his rallies. Don't worry about voting.
Right.
Make sure to stop the other people from voting. That's his that's his line right now. It's crazy.
Right. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Fine.
That's the thing is there's so many different, when you're dealing with somebody who's not in the realm of, who's not a sane person, then there's so many different permutations you have to think about, right? Because even people that are big pains in the ass, you know, who we can't stand, whose political positions are horrible, make at least semi-logical decisions that are in their own interest. I mean, a classic example is if Nikki Haley were nominated, it would be 100% in Trump's interest to support her because she has said she'll pardon him.
Interesting.
But he won't.
Yeah.
Because he can't. Psychologically, that means, I mean, my God, right? If you're him, an Indian immigrant, daughter of immigrants, woman beat him in a Republican primary, his ego cannot handle that.
Yeah.
And the same fights that hurt him, that undermined him with McConnell and other Republicans that he's gotten into constantly that have done nothing but harm his chances and made things worse. You know, I think I've heard you say this before. You know, Donald Trump always makes things worse for Donald Trump. I believe it's a Bob Seska quote.
Yeah.
And that is the truth. He cannot help himself. So even though everybody would be saying to him, you know, hey, poopy pants. Sorry.
See, I think that's got to be a thing. I think calling Donald Trump poopy pants between now and Election Day,
I promise you,
not a bad idea.
You do that constantly, you will weaken him among his supporters.
And it's just funny. It makes me laugh. So
I know. I can't help it.
America has to laugh in these trying times.
They do. And I'm also a 14-year-old. So that.
But, me too.
That's why we get along so well. But you know what I mean? But I mean, the thing is that I don't think he will. And I think he'll tell his people that Nikki Haley stole it from him, that she's a usurper and that she's a wimp and she's a moderate and she's a this and a that, you know, rhino. And I think he'll get it. I mean, so when people are like, do you think Nikki Haley could beat Biden? I do, if the entire Republican Party united behind her. But I think that that's close to an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trump would get enough people to stay home, you know, that she'd lose.
Yeah.
And lose big. So that's the thing. So it's the same thing here. Like the logical thing for Trump to do, if he believed in anything other than himself, is if he gets kicked off a number of ballots, be like, I'm stepping aside. But he won't.
Yeah.
And the logical thing for Republicans to do would be to be like, we want to win. So we're going to, and there'll be a certain percentage of them that don't have their heads so far up their asses. Hopefully not Trump's, because it's dirty. I got to stop this at some point. you know, that will are logical enough that we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there still will be this core base, I think, that's strong enough that will remain loyal to him. They're not loyal to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
They're often, you know, they're far right and new apostolistic, or however you say that, whatever, Christian fundamentalists.
Yeah.
They are like neo-Nazis. They're all these groups to the far fringes of our society.
Yeah.
They will not accept anybody else. And so I think in the end, even if he's like, I'm running and I'm on 25 ballots, well, that's what they're going to do. And then they're going to claim it was stolen from him and all of that. And you know, as they'll do if in any scenario where Donald Trump is not A, the Republican nominee, mm-hmm. and B, elected president of the United States, it's stolen from him.
Yeah.
Either Nikki Haley steals it from him or somebody else, you know, who we don't know about yet, who jumps into the Republican primaries, or Joe Biden steals it from him. But there's no world in which Trump loses and Trump says it's a fair contest.
Right.
And that's what's going to hurt his party so much.
Okay, short break. Back with more Cliff Schechter right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Trek Talks is coming your way. Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. To benefit the Hollywood Food Coalition. It's on January 13th and celebrities galore will be on hand.
Will John wear pants? That's the operative question. Probably not. Come and watch co-host Bonnie Gordon. She's not here right now, but I can imitate her. Oh, John, you cannot. Yes, I can.
Bob Seska.
There's a very distinct possibility that Donald Trump is not the nominee. There's a certain number of events that could occur where he doesn't get it, where if you have a sort of a confluence of, let's say, Nikki Haley coming in at a close second in New Hampshire and South Carolina, and then the Supreme Court rules against Donald Trump either on immunity or on the 14th Amendment or both, and then Republicans start to go, well, maybe, and oh, the other thing is the impact of the Dobbs decision. Maybe we blunt the women vote by nominating a woman. And so that may cancel out the surge in women voting for Democrats as a consequence of the Dobbs decision. Well, so Republicans start to see these combination of things. And then they suddenly.
This year, yeah. Yes.
I was just saying, I mean, between all these events, Republican voters could start to go, maybe it shouldn't be Donald Trump. Maybe we should start to take a look at one of these alternatives, especially knowing that Nikki Haley may have a stronger chance. I mean, all things being equal, Nikki Haley may have a stronger chance of beating Joe Biden than Donald Trump does. At least some of the polls have indicated that. So it seems to me there's a solid argument. If you're a Republican voter or if you're the Republican Party, you're thinking, oh, my God, maybe it's not Donald Trump. Maybe there's a reason to start to rally behind Nikki Haley or Chris Christie or a combination of the two of them instead of nominating Donald Trump. I see that as a very distinct possibility. Is Donald Trump worth the trouble, given the fact that there's a very solid chance that he's going to lose to Joe Biden in November? And on top of the fact that he's going to be probably convicted at least once of a series of crimes in one of these various venues that he's been indicted under. And so there are all kinds of things that could lead us into this realm of possibility that Donald Trump does not end up becoming the nominee for his party. Now, again, as I said, that's a remote possibility, but it's still a possibility, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. So, I come to this sort of conversation with, as I said, the full expectation he'll be the nominee. Again, it's hard taking somebody on who you know will not play on the playing field as you will, who will do anything and everything, right? And will take everything down with them, right? Somebody that's willing to burn it all down.
Yeah.
And so the problem is, you know, here, so let's start with, yes, absolutely. Because look, Nikki Haley's within 14 points or less in New Hampshire, and independents can vote there, as I said, and she could pull a victory there, right?
And then South Carolina, her home state,
her home state, if she can hold off and not, you know, and not have a Marco Rubio or a Kasich, if she can hold on to her state's voters, then, you know, and win there, yes, then she'd be in terrific shape. The problem as I see it is that this guy is going, you know, if she wins, let's say early on, he will threaten in some way that his voters will stay home.
Yeah.
And then he'll tell his voters to stay home. And then Republicans have to rethink that. Do we want to, this crazy motherfucker, do we want to take a chance that he really is going to do that? Which I think he absolutely would. Because he'd probably see it as that gives me a better chance to win in 4 years, even though like, any actuarial table will tell you it's a miracle if he's here in 4 years. But I mean, you know, I like the way you think, man.
I like that a lot. I mean, to contemplate that possibility. Thank you.
I'm not wishing it. I promise necessarily. I'm being good. But
forgive me if I am, because I might be. I might actually be wishing for that.
So, I could be too. Who knows?
I mean, natural causes then, maybe.
But when Captain Pillpopper there, Ronnie Jackson, was you know, like, he's going to live, he's strong as a bull, he's going to live to 326 years old. When you looked at the actual medical reports that were produced, it showed the beginning of heart disease. He already had, I don't know how far along he was in it, but regular doctors, I'm not one of them, looked at it and said, we have heart disease here. The man eats like, again, a child.
Yeah.
He eats fast food. He doesn't believe in diet. He thinks it makes him stronger to not work out because that's...
Oh, right. We talked about this, at some point. Yeah.
This is such like base Republican thinking. If I work out, I'm weak.
Yeah.
I'm strong by being natural me.
Well, he thinks that you have a certain allotment of heartbeats during your lifetime. And if you use up those heartbeats by making your heart beat more rapidly through exercise, then you're going to die sooner.
Right. And then you have to think about the fact that, like, he came very close to, as far as we know, dying from COVID, which may have left some permanent effects, had some permanent effects, certainly at that age. I mean, you know, they pumped every experimental drug into the guy to keep him alive, you can imagine. I mean, you know, so I'm just saying, like, he's in awful shape. He does awful things to his body, and he's enraged all the time. Not good for you folks to be enraged all the time.
Releases
bad chemicals into your body. So, I mean, you know, within 4 years, like, I don't even know how the hell we got on this. I was making a point, you know, when I was saying, I don't know that he was. Oh, okay. My point
like
was.
Like, we're talking about basically what if he's not the nominee.
He brings down Nikki Haley. He sees it as he can run again in 4 years, maybe. And so what I'm saying is, is there a non-zero chance? Is there a chance that it won't be him? Yes, in a way that I didn't think so 6 or 9 months ago.
Yeah.
A number of events, as you said, the fact that I would have never thought that the Colorado court or any, or even the Secretary of State in Maine and these things would happen where he could be kicked off the ballot, which that's our democracy working. That's good. I wouldn't have thought that he would have 91 indictments by now. I thought that there are a few things that are going to get him on, but you know, so those, any of those turn to actual, you've been convicted of a crime. Yes, there are some of the lunatics who are like, I'll vote for him even if he's going to be in prison as president, but a decent number who aren't quite as crazy won't. I mean, there are definitive events that could change things.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think, I think if he's the nominee, Biden's the president. I think if he's not the nominee, there's even more chance Biden's the president at this point.
Yeah.
Because he tells his people to stay home because he does not care about any of this.
That's exactly it. I'm not worried about Nikki Haley becoming the nominee, because if she does become the nominee, there's a greater chance that Donald Trump is going to split the Republican Party, effectively killing it. And that's the thing that we've all been anticipating all this time and hoping for, is that not only does Trump go down, but this Republican Party that platformed this guy also goes down. And I'm talking, it's not just me as a liberal Democrat talking here. There have been many Never Trumpers, for example, who have also said, you know what, this Republican Party has to die. It's not just about Donald Trump. This party that I was a part of for how many years has to go away. And that's
right.
Nikki Haley getting the nomination, or Chris Christie, or Ron DeSantis, or one of these others getting the nomination, and it's not Donald Trump, that's going to send the red hats batshit. There are going to be accusations of vote tampering. He's probably going to blame the Democrats for that, too. But he's going to go after primarily Ron McDaniel.
They'll blame certain Republicans the way they, Carrie Lake blamed the longtime Republican chair of the Board of Election in Maricopa County, the really large, disproportionately large county that's Phoenix and others areas. I think Flagstaff's in it, whatever. I don't need to be a freaking geographic expert here. But the point being, it's a large part of that state. And that guy had to go into hiding with his family because Carrie Lake accused him of being a rhino, even though he had been a Republican for like ever, conservative, you know. So like, excuse me, I would say that, you know, very realistically, you're going to see, you may not see them say, oh, well, it's the Democrats who did this, but whichever Republicans who don't support him will be rhinos and will be, Democrat enabling, blah, 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 and traitors and this and that. So he'll undermine whoever it is, which will also undermine their efforts in the House. It'll be really interesting to see then what the ultra crazies in the House, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert and others, Matt Gaetz, who've endorsed Trump, do. Are they going to get behind another Republican candidate if Trump refuses to? I mean, if they don't, in the end, if Trump gets all these people to stay home, it's their asses. I mean, Gaetz, and now that Bobo has run away like the coward she is to another more Republican district than the one she was in, maybe she can hold on. Maybe they all can hold on because they're in such Republican districts.
Yeah.
But every Republican in a Biden district is dead, and I would probably say dead politically, in case anybody's accusing me of anything. And I would say anywhere up to about 7 to even 8 or 9 or 10 point Republican districts, they could be toast.
Yeah.
It could be an absolute 1932 type wipeout.
Yeah.
Where they could lose 70 House seats or something like that, because a certain percentage stays home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of Trump. And so he ends up screwing all of them. Ted Cruz and Rick Scott will certainly lose, and in Florida and Texas, which would be.
Yeah,
I mean, I promise I will start believing in God and praying if those two lose and Trump loses.
So speaking of districts, what do you think about Lauren Boebert? You mentioned Lauren Boebert fleeing her home district a second ago. So let's talk about that. Is this absolutely proof positive that the MAGA agenda doesn't play in purple districts, right? This is like
the fact that she has fled
is kind of a major sign of weakness for the MAGA agenda.
Yeah, she's a complete tool.
Yeah.
I mean, she's what she is, right? Yeah, like Mrs. Tough Lady with the, the gun carrying, restaurant and all of that. But the minute things, she can't keep her mouth shut. She can't even act like a semi-normal, not trashy, not wax on, wax off and Beetlejuice type person. So because of that, I miss Cobra Kai. If they would just bring it back.
Yeah, Pat Morita is cursing you from wherever he is right now. It's like, how dare you use that as a euphemism?
I know. That was bad of me. I apologize. I will. I don't know. I'll go out and I'll be like, phone the car.
That's right.
Wash the car. In any case.
Oh, man.
In any case, I was just saying my list, I'm not trying to brag, but we have a big list and we raised a lot of money, and we looked at you know, Adam, what's his name, Frisch, in her, I think that's it, in her district early on.
Yeah.
And you know, like, he was a city councilman, he was a lawyer, he was a good candidate, and she's only in a plus six district, and she acts the same way that, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene and, you know, Gates and these other idiots act who are in plus 20-something districts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember her first election, she only won by 2 or 3 points, so she already had lost. She'd come in lower than you should as a generic Republican. Mm-hmm. And so we believed in, like, this candidate, and we helped raise him a lot of money, whatever. And in the end, that was the closest race in the country. Wow. In a recount, she only won by 544 votes or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so clearly acting like a complete moron in, you know, in even a plus six Republican district.
Yeah.
That should tell you is too much. And, you know, in the wake of, and I believe, right, 2022 was still before Dobbs, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember. Or was it after?
Yeah, it was, Dobbs was, what, June of 2022? Yeah.
Oh, so no, it was before.
Yeah.
And like, that, they've said on average, has taken, I think, 6 to 7 points off of Republican totals in various places. Mm-hmm. Right? Not always, but I think that's the average. So, you know, I think you combine that with you know, who she is, and it kills her there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was the logical move, because if you want to be as big of a complete idiot as she is, you know, and you want to be able to have sexy time during Beetlejuice, you have to run in a plus 24 Republican district, or whatever Ken Buck's district is. Mm-hmm. So it made sense.
Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene here for a second, too, because since we're talking about Lauren Boebert, let's talk about the other Lauren Boebert.
Talk about her there. Her
Marjorie Taylor
twin.
Greene, yeah, yeah. So this market analysis group called Unusual Whales wrote up a report about the top 100 members of Congress who made the most on the stock market last year. Marjorie Taylor Greene is in the middle of that list, not surprisingly. I've been covering the fact that she bought stock in DWAC, which is that platform that Donald Trump is trying to go public with Truth Social, right? But last night, Marjorie Taylor Greene told Jesse Waters that she doesn't own any stocks. That she, throughout 2023, she owned no stocks, zero stocks. And that any stock purchases associated with her name are actually stock purchases that her son made on her son's account. And somehow that's getting mixed up with her own financial disclosures. And in fact,
that's not how it works.
Yeah, she failed to disclose anything for 2023 yet. That hasn't happened. Her 2023 disclosures haven't happened. But I looked at her 2022 disclosures. She's loaded with mutual funds and stocks. So she does own stocks. So she lied on Fox News. Not a shocker. But what is she afraid of? Why is she lying about her stock ownership?
I assume it's because she wants to sound, you know, populist.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, she's actually kind of wealthy.
Yeah.
I mean, not because of anything she ever did. It's a family company. I think it was a family construction company. I think she married the husband that then she went and cheated on, you know, the gym rat with.
Yeah, right.
Or with the gym rat on. You know, her tantric, ew, I'm not even getting into it.
this is, you know, a gross show. This is a disgusting, really disgusting, too. Dirty, filthy show today.
You should just burn this show when it's over, I think. A purging fire may be necessary. But you know, her husband had money and she left it. So, I mean, I don't think she wants people to know, you know, that she is one of the elite. She just happens to be the everybody's favorite Karen, you know? I mean, she's a complaining, spoiled, privileged, complete idiot who can't spell basic words and really isn't nasty and honestly provides objectively no positive value to this earth. Mm-hmm. Her being here has provided nothing. She's taken resources. I can't think of anything she's likely provided. And so, you know, but it's a good lesson for people in that, you know, that wealth doesn't equate to an either intelligence or to ethics. In fact, often the opposite.
Yeah.
Not always. But you know, that's the thing. Mm. I mean, that'd be my guess, because why else
would
she care about the stock stuff? No, you know, no one's coming and getting her for it. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, how many different disclosure lies were there by Santos that he got away with until finally they start seeing him as the liability he will be, which is may take down the entire almost the entire Republican delegation from the House in, you know, New York,
yeah,
starting with his own seat going, I think, likely goes to us in the February special election a month from now. And there's a bunch of the other guys who won in districts that are very close that are going to have his stink on them. And they protected him as long as they could until, you know, they saw him as a negative. That's what they do. So, I mean, it's not like I see that they would ever go after Marjorie Taylor Greene unless they saw going after her as getting rid of her and helping them.
Yeah.
Like, they all, you know, they all shivved Madison Cawthorn once he was a liability.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, they saw it.
But I wonder with Marjorie Taylor Greene if either that was a gaffe, denying that she owns any stocks at all, like she meant to say, well, I didn't buy or sell any stocks in 2023 or anything like that. But it doesn't matter. It's all about
really stupid.
The report
so
was
she
about
made that mistake.
Yeah. The report was about value, the value of stocks by members of Congress. It wasn't whether you've purchased stock or not. And this is a Republican Party that's all about the free market, and they've nominated this guy, Donald Trump, who's well ensconced in stocks and business and things like that, famously has manipulated the stock market over time. This is not something that the Republicans typically hide, what they're invested in or their connection to business. And that makes me scratch my head as to if Marjorie Taylor Greene was trying to lie in the context of saying, I don't own any stocks. I haven't owned any stocks all year throughout 2023. So you're telling us that you dumped all of your stocks at some point.
Right.
Are you going to disclose that? I mean, there are all kinds of questions here, but I'm going to lean toward the idea that she is trying to cover something up. There is something hinky going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene's stock ownership. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because if she says that, yeah, then maybe there's hidden in there are some insider trading purchases.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of that, just to interrupt real quick. Remember that story came out right around the time Russia invaded Ukraine? That a couple of days before Russia invaded Ukraine, Marjorie Taylor Greene bought a whole bunch of defense sector stocks. Yeah. That may be an indication that Marjorie Taylor Greene, if that's not specifically insider trading or using her insider knowledge as a member of Congress to capitalize using a stock purchase, it could just mean that Marjorie Taylor Greene is just really into playing the stock market and saw an opportunity there, which, again, why would you deny that? Why, if you're Marjorie Taylor Greene, why would you deny doing something like that? Or why would you deny owning stocks at all? That seems confounding
right.
to me.
Well, with big picture stuff, it says to me, and I don't believe that she's smart enough to see the big picture, is she'd be worried because there are people that want to ban stock on them, even members of Congress.
That's true, yeah.
Proposed, you know, bans on that because, you know, overall, I think if you find a Republican with ethics, you tell me that, you know, they're endangered species. I don't know that they're out in the wild anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that 100% of Republicans have probably traded on information.
Yeah.
And then there's, as always, a certain percentage of Democrats who are scummy. There's some Menendez Democrats there, right? Types who are that way too. But there's enough Democrats who do have morals and ethics and you know, who want to ban this practice. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's worried if more, but that's such a big picture, like seeing a move or two ahead and she's so dumb. You know, unless somebody told her that, maybe it's possibly somebody warned her of that. It's hard for me to see. I kind of would stick more to the, she owns some stock that she shouldn't, and acquired it in a way that she shouldn't, or something, or didn't pay taxes on, or who knows. You're right that she's probably, there's something there she doesn't want people to know.
Here's a possibility.
I don't know what that is, because the insider trading stuff, we don't do anything about.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Some of these people do this all the time and nothing happens to them.
Well, here's a possibility for what she might be trying to cover up. And it's not even that serious. So I don't know why she would do it. But I guess in MAGA, in the MAGA universe, it's probably more serious than we think, is that she, in her 2022 financial disclosure, shows that she owns stock in Walt Disney Company, which is the woke Disney.
Okay,
you know
that
what I mean?
Be it.
Yeah, that may be part
that
of it.
But she may have some serious Bud Light stock.
Right, but it's publicly disclosed. I mean, it took me 5 seconds to find that 2022 financial disclosure and say, oh, look, Marjorie Taylor Greene is invested in woke Disney. How about that shit?
Right, but that's you.
Yeah.
And you have a brain. So if you're thinking of, like, mom and dad MAGA, you know, or little Joey MAGA sitting in his room doing research on his computer, I don't really think that they're going to know what you did or be able to put it together and find it. They're only going to find out if media organizations tell them. And, well, you can go on Fox and right-wing talk radio and lie your ass off, and there's no penalty for it. Why not do that? Again, I do think the often, you know, Occam's razor, right? The easiest explanation. Either there's something there she doesn't want people to know about, or it's just a general sort of, you know, populist stance where she doesn't want to seem like she's this wealthy person that she is, because, you know, you're right when you talk about, like you say, that it's not, you know, Republicans and business and this and that, but it's a sexist thing. Yeah. It's much more okay for a Donald Trump to walk around and pretend to be a titan of business who's, you know, done this and that than it is for Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's supposed to be the little lady at home taking care of the family and, you know, blah, 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 right? Like, They don't take as well to that.
You know, before we wrap up here, Cliff, I got to ask you about Mike DeWine doing something good for a change. HB 68. He actually vetoed HB 68, which is that ban on gender affirming care. It was a ban on trans girls playing sports, youth sports. And he vetoed that. I was shocked and surprised because now he's going to induce the rage of the entire Red Hat MAGA universe that, oh, this guy is supporting the mutilation of children. I mean, because that's the line that we're hearing from Michael Knowles and Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh and Candace Owens. And so that's Mike DeWine has stepped right into that, which is kind of amazing. It's kind of an impressive thing that he did. Yeah.
I have an answer for you, which is he's done.
You know, he's done. He's got,
He's won a second term as governor. He can't run for another one. Yeah. He doesn't want to go back to the Senate.
Yeah.
There's, you know, I mean, Mike DeWine has literally served in almost every position in government that exists this state. He's been in government for 50 years almost. He was certainly state rep or state senator, but I believe both, a county prosecutor. He was lieutenant governor when Voinovich was governor of this state. He was a congressman. He was a senator. He was an attorney general, and now he's governor.
Okay.
Like, there's no, you know, he had 2 years after he lost to Sherrod Brown in 2006 where he was out of government. You know, or 2008, whenever that race was, I think it was 2006. He'd like 2 or 4 years where he's out of government and found some teaching jobs, whatever. And that's the only time he's been out of government. These guys that supposedly hate government in like 50 years. I mean, if you remember, he did the right thing in COVID too. The sad thing about Mike DeWine is he like many Republicans was always crazy on certain things. On abortion, he was always a nut. So that wasn't a change for him. But I point out to people that when he's in the Senate, he was one of two, three, to vote against giving the gun companies immunity. He actually was great on gun stuff. He proposed with McCain, remember back then, and Lieberman, a few others, closing the gun show loophole, which in the end, either, I'm trying to remember, I think the Senate passed it and the House refused to or whatever, you know, right after Columbine. And then, of course, once he started running for politics again after he lost that Senate race, he started kissing the NRA's ass and became, he realized on that issue, he had to sell himself out.
Yeah.
But COVID, he always had some instincts that were more moderate. And he just pushed them to the side and sold people out to get ahead, even on COVID, where he originally was good. And then he backed off and, you know, got rid of the head of the health department here, who was doing such a terrific job and got got national plaudits for how well she was doing. I would say that the only reason for him to do this is that it's actually something he believes, which shocks me, because he's more socially conservative on church and state issues. He's a religious Catholic. I would have thought he would have been with them on this. So it says something. It's fascinating to me, because again, yes, they all hate him. The only, you know, but they have forever, because they've always known he's not one of them. You know, he's never been one of the sort of MAGA nuts. He's what used to be considered a conservative Republican, you know, that before this whole wave of far right lunatics came along. So it is interesting, but it's honestly, my guess is he signs that bill if this was during the first term.
Yeah,
it's the second term. He's done. You know, he's out of office in 2026. He's got nothing left. He's I think, in his mid to late 70s at this point. He's got nothing left to run for.
So that's it for Mike DeWine. Mike DeWine, this is his swan song. He's going away. We're never going to see him in politics again. Or is he going to turn up on Fox News or something like that?
Oh, I'm sure he'll do. I mean, no. If people offer him easy money, although he comes from like another one. And it was family business here, I think, and he comes from a very wealthy family. Mm. So he doesn't need to do that stuff the way some might need to for money. He may, you know, and he's never been big on the talking circuit. That was never his thing. I think he likely goes away and just, you know, goes and spends all his time in church.
Is Ohio still a purple state, or is it now permanently red? Are we going to just see more and more sort of MAGA Trump-level Republicans winning statewide races there? Or is it going to still be half and half? I mean, still the state that, you know, Sherrod Brown is the senator from.
Right.
You know, it just seems, it seems in this gray area right now, doesn't it?
Well, I would put it, that's where I'd say is, I would say you split the difference.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I was scared we'd go the way of Missouri, which was a swing state, mm-hmm. and started moving a little bit to the right. And then Republican, you know, it was the only state that Obama targeted in 08, I believe, that he lost. Mm-hmm. And I think after that, and he won Indiana by a point or two. Think about that.
Yeah.
Right. And after he won Indiana by a point or two and lost Missouri, the Democratic Party gave up on Missouri.
Yeah.
And we've still had like Jason Kander when he lost his race by 4 points when he ran against Blunt, I think, for the U.S. Senate way back when.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lucas Kuntz is running a really good race against Josh Hawley, who could be controversial enough because even Danforth and people that, you know, regular, the old school Republicans who supported Hawley are appalled by him now. But in any case, to get back to the point, we haven't gone that way in a 20-point direction or something, because look at what's happened, right? Like, we voted for in that last ballot to legalize weed, and we voted for abortion rights.
Yeah.
So the problem is, you know, is I would say to you, we're a 3 to 5 point lean Republican state.
Okay.
Trump maxed out here, honestly, because people fell for his crap. His pitch, which was anti-trade and anti-immigration and, you know, the protectionist thing, was literally made for northern Ohio, where car parts are made. That's out of Michigan, the place where the most car parts are made and all that kind of stuff. So it was a pitch, like, it was almost perfect for Ohio. Most Republicans here, if you look over the last half dozen years, like if they hadn't gerrymandered, when you added up the vote in all the congressional seats, I want to say, was that in 22, they won by 3 points. You know what I mean? J.D. Vance, I think, won by 5, and it took Peter Thiel coming in here and dumping in $30 or $40 billion or something, which makes me sick. I mean, that was a race that was pretty close until that happened, and J.D. Vance. But what I'm saying to you is, with the full effects now, you have to remember the stuff that's happened since then. That 10-year-old who had to leave the state to get, you know, abortion. The fact that it became such a big issue here, and then we passed this resolution that it activated a lot of women. Got a lot of people involved. If I'm being honest with you, you know, and just saying the truth, and I'll get attacked for this, I'm sure. But actuarial charts are in our favor, because the cities and suburbs are growing in these rural areas where they're like, hey, I got a great idea. You're MAGA, right? I want you to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes while eating 14 cartons of ice cream, while shooting your AR-15 off in all directions, while refusing your COVID vaccine and licking your neighbor's doorknob. And, you know, I want you to do all of that, and then, because it pisses liberals off. And shockingly, in those counties, life expectancy has gone down.
Yeah,
not to mention
amazing.
Opioid addiction. And so we're one of those places, I think Florida may be the same, you know, and a few others that are on the bubble, where short term, the right got an advantage, but their voters are older and sicker. Mm-hmm. And our voters are the ones moving here for the Procter and Gambles and Kroger's and types of companies that are headquartered here. So I do think my analysis would be, you know, something could change, but in 5 years or so, we go back to being completely a swing state, maybe even a lean blue state. But for right now, we're a lean 3-4 point Republican state, which means an incumbent has a great shot like Sherrod Brown. It's harder when you're not an incumbent. I still think we have a great shot to pick up some seats here. And, you know, it just will depend what the map looks like in a presidential election. I get if they don't prioritize Ohio. I mean, I would love them to. But I understand it if, you know, the path is easier when they're looking at their polling in North Carolina or Arizona or Georgia. I understand. As much as it upsets me, I get it. The first thing is winning. If they look like they're in great shape and they're hopefully in a place to kick Trump's butt or whoever it is, I hope they would put the money in and try to win Ohio and compete here, because part of that problem is that Democrats end up pulling out early here. That's, what happened with Tim Ryan, too. They decided not to prioritize that race, pulled their money out of here, and J.D. Vance pulled ahead.
Yeah.
You could argue whether it was a smart use of the money or not. Sherry Beasley, the one in North Carolina, barely lost there, who we were hoping would win. I mean, there were some other things like that. But, I hope that they realize that, Texas, like Georgia and Arizona, is on its way to being a swing state. And I think Florida and Ohio, because of the elderly, those that tend to vote Republican, again, are the oldest and sickest. And I think new folks moving in are different. So
interesting. So let's talk about your YouTube channel, your rapidly growing YouTube channel. Yes, the fastest growing YouTube channel about politics on YouTube. So where can people find the YouTube channel? What's the latest happening with that, Cliff?
I'm going to give you all the latest, which is, first of all, you were supposed to have the perfect, broadcast today. And, of course, my sound sucks because somehow this mic on the lavalier isn't working. But I've got, sound,
baffles.
Yeah. Like, dampeners and the lights. Hopefully it looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. We're so close. We're so close. We had a couple videos go, crazy viral. I told you, Trump, pooping his pants went up to, that's at, almost 75,000 views. We had another one on Nikki Haley and... Nikki Haley and slavery go to 110,000. Mm-hmm. That's not our average. Those were two incredible videos in a row. Generally, we're in the 5,000-7,000. But point being, over 31,000, getting towards 32,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And we've been growing immensely, which I love. We do commentaries every day. If you like me on this show, 5 to 7 minute commentaries, a couple of those. And, you can find me at youtube.com, C. Schechter, just my first initial C and then my last name, S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. It's called the Blue Amp Channel right now, but I'll give you guys an early whatever. I think the new name, it's getting rebranded, will be Cliff's Edge, because I like it.
Nice. I like that. Yeah.
Good. I think that's where we're headed, because we're doing some rebranding stuff. And, I intend to put... I spent some money on all of this. I'm going to really, the intention is to grow this to be a major platform. Mm-hmm. And in 16 months getting from, I think it had 17 subscribers because I'd put up two videos. I think one of them was with you, an event and something that we did for Bloomberg's group 10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
But I hadn't done, it had 17 subscribers and now we're at 31,500 or something like that. So, not bad in 16 months. So I'm hoping folks will come by. We'll try to be both funny and informative. So
incredible.
There you go. There's
Sounds
the
good. Yeah, got a link in the description, of course. Cliff, Happy New Year, my friend. It's great talking to you.
You too, man. Talk to others as you'd have done to you. That's just a promise to walk out the door. When you abandon all the fools you can use, that's just an avenue to finding more. You need the admiration like a fiend needs to get his high. Then you deliver empty words in return, so superficial, just a pacify. Fooling all the people with your magic, floating in the air like you're a god, wrapped up in your patriotic plastic. Underneath it all, you're just a fraud. You sell the promise of a fortune to those who would believe your every word. A hollow figure on the stage of the world, a phony savior to observe. Some charlatan proclaiming he's the greatest that
black and white without a light. You're just a grifter with an audience, fooling all the people with your magic, floating in the air like you're a god, wrapped up in your patriotic plastic. Underneath it all, you're just a fraud. Just a fraud. You're just a fraud. You're just a just a fraud. Underneath it all, you're just a fraud. Underneath it all, you're just a fraud.